This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Were like, well, what if it's just Monument Men, the Monument Men? And I was like, no, it has to be the Monuments Men.
And you made them keep the as well.
Yes, I said the has to be in, and they said, well, why? And I was like, I don't know. That's why it's good.
Great move. What up,
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. What up to all our listeners? This is a podcast where we talk about Hollywood news and we help people who are trying to get into the entertainment industry find jobs and success and then the happiness that we've found from those things. But sometimes we also like to talk about more difficult subjects.
Areas that few are brave enough to delve. That's where Hayes and I sometimes get our little oil lanterns and we go down exploring and we come out with
and
the
we
truth.
We turn our flashlight hats on and...
And we get into the mine of some of the unpleasant, mucky stuff that goes on. And when we do that, it's always brought to you by Wrangler Fly Button Jeans. And it's the Wrangler Fly Button Jean Hot Button issue of the week.
Yes. And just as a side note, Wrangler Fly Button Jean, like, I actually find them to be much easier to deal with than zipper equipment, especially...
Well, what Hayes is getting at is when you are... physically constructed in a certain way, it's difficult to deal with a zip fly. It leaves an imprint, kind of a zippery maze down the front of your...
Let's say, when you are a certain type of man, opening and closing your pants is not a procedure you want to rush.
That's a very smart way to put it. And actually, one thing that Wrangler will do is you can have the buttons spread out a little further apart to get more room, and they have the U-shaped area, which is very good. So I know skinny jeans are hip. Not everyone has that option.
A V-shape can be very pinchy in a certain...
If it's a wide... But anyway... Anyway,
the hot button we want to delve today is it's very hot. It's been getting hotter and hotter,
and picking up steam and heat.
And this is there's been a controversy going on with Woody Allen,
one of our friends.
He is a friend of ours. As you know, that doesn't prevent us from discussing him on the show.
Does not color our perspective on this in any way. We look just at the facts.
And lest you think he would ask us to defend him on this program, I can tell you right now that he would hate it.
Oh, he'd be furious.
If he knew we were doing this right now.
He'd say to us, and I don't do the best impression, but I do a good one. He'd say to us, I'm ripping pissed at you dudes.
Because he doesn't want the stain of what's going on with him to bleed onto us.
And our hip podcast. And he has actually asked us to stay out of it. Stay out of it whenever he's in any kind of sort of controversy, which seems to unfortunately have happened in the past and is now happening again.
Yes. A lot of people are upset with Woody Allen because they think he's too old to be doing movies anymore.
Yes. Now, we haven't read all of the articles because, frankly, we're generally more informed than these articles that come out. But we've seen the headlines, and we've skimmed them, and a lot of it, they're talking about his age and other younger ages, and it's not relevant. You should just evaluate movies on the movies that is done.
And I think there's a lot to be said for a director getting better as he gets older than, say, they're talking about like 7 or 8 year old directors or something like that. And I think in a lot of cases, a director of Woody Allen's age could actually do a better job than a 7 or 8 year old would.
And I wholeheartedly agree. And I actually think, and I know this isn't a wildly popular opinion, but that some of his movies of the past 10, 20 years have been pretty okay movies.
Yes, I think that he's actually done some of his best work.
Now, unfortunately, we're not the only acquaintances, friends, people who know him who've gotten involved in this controversy. And that's part of why we're throwing our hat in the ring, is we see people smearing Woody Allen's movies.
Mm-hmm. Mia, you see all this stuff about Mia Hamm is now involved in.
People think Mia Hamm should direct his movies, but she's not a movies director, and he actually wrote the movies, and that's his idea.
And that's not taking away from her talent at all, actually. She's very good at what she does, which is play soccer, but to say that she should now be directing Woody Allen's movies instead of him, and I guess maybe starring in them too, not to say that she couldn't.
She should be doing Mia's movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have read, I think, almost a third of this letter that Dylan wrote.
Dylan, yes.
And that really hurt. Dylan is pretty angry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe understandably so, but it's not his place to talk movies. It's his place to write songs, mm-hmm, and to sell Chryslers.
Yes. And that was striking to me as such a big fan of his. And you know, I've always said that I actually think he is a 20th century poet, which a lot of people think is like sort of a fringe opinion, but I stand by it. I think that actually some of his lyrics are sort of like poetry.
No, I feel the same way. And I've said, Bobby Zimmerman, you and I go way back, and I have seen your writing grow, and I think it's like poetry, and I've seen him be jealous, mm-hmm, of Woody a little bit. And is that where this comes from?
Does it have anything to do with his movie that he made a few years ago not being very successful? What was the name of that movie, Sam?
I'm not sure.
Okay, can you get sure right fucking now?
Google it.
One great thing about Google these days is you don't have to talk about it to do it. You just fucking type the shit in and then you give us the answer.
And Sam, if you're going to talk, what's a good place to do that in? Where's the place to talk when you're going to talk?
Microphone.
Into the microphone. That's right. But what are you not supposed to do on the show?
Talking to the microphone.
That's right. So put the microphone back where it was. And then when someone asks you a question, just silently look up the thing that you're supposed to look up. I mean, you, I am me, the thing that I ask for. And then Sean and I can be the host of the show.
I'm sorry.
Right?
That feels better over here. Anyway, who gives a shit about that movie? Dylan's off his rocker, and we've all known that for a little while.
It's sad to see an artist like that becoming so crazy.
To me, his concerts at this point are less about enjoying the music and more about trying to guess which friggin' song he's singing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's come to.
Keep going.
Well, he's playing a song and you go, oh, wait, this is a hit famous song that I recognize only from like one of the lyrics, because the way he's playing it is so freaking cuckoo that you don't actually know it. And the way he's singing it is so freaking kabonkos that you don't understand a lot of what the words are. And so that's no reason to try to make Woody Allen not make good movies anymore.
Masked and Anonymous.
Ah, yes.
We wanted to say a quick bye-bye to one of our comedy heroes and someone that we've drawn a lot of inspiration from over the years.
Sir Jason Leno.
Mm-hmm.
A true gentleman of the highest degree. And people, I think, have taken pot shots at our friend Jason because maybe in the past year or two, his star has faded, and maybe his material's not as sharp as it was in 2010 and in 2011, when, if you'll recall, he was on Top of the World,
mm-hmm.
and the green room of Jay Leno's show was the hub for all entertainment professionals.
Yeah, that was the spot. If you were, like, if you were anybody in the city, you were in that green room. That's where you'd go to drink water and, like, eat snacks. And
pretzels.
Just, yes.
And mini pretzels.
Just get loaded on Snyder's of Hanover pretzels.
And they would be sourdough, or they would mm-hmm. be the long, twisty kind, the stick kind. I mean, everything. And never turned anyone away who, as long as they were famous.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that I would finish up, I think during the whole time that Hayes and I were filming Hope Floats, we would wrap the day, wash our faces, and head straight to the Leno Green Room. Gobble pretzels, be doing jokes and having laughs.
With Charles Grodin.
With Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
With
Ann Mira.
Mm-hmm. The unnamed comic would be there.
Mm-hmm.
He would be there with his bag on his head and cracking us up, bussing us up. Ann Mira, Jerry Stiller.
That's where they met.
Kevin Pollak.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kinane. Literally, we could list names forever, but you kind of get the idea.
Minnie
here.
Driver.
Jason Ritter.
And it's tough to remember that time, the good days before it all sort of went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When it sort of got out of control with how much people were eating and drinking in that room and...
Well, especially once it came out that bottled water is bad for the environment.
And we had just been putting this stuff away like it was fine. Like, we didn't know. Like, this is the kind of thing that people forget.
People are angry at our generation, but we were innocent in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing what the guy next to us was doing. And science hadn't told us yet.
And that the little bottles, we thought those were better. Because you're drinking less water, but they're actually worse because it's taking
You need to drink
four or five bottles
to meet your quota.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go through 30 little bottles of water just during one of David Brenner's sets.
And by the time it came out, they said, well, you have to stop doing this. We've been drinking this water for so long, it's like, it's not easy to stop.
It's not easy to stop cold turkey, yeah.
And you wonder, like, is this water, like, why I'm good?
Yeah, you start to wonder, because then you go to get on the set of Sweet Home Alabama the next day, and you're behind the camera, you're directing, you're in front of the camera, you're acting, and it feels a little hollow, and you go... is it that I need those little tiny bottles of water to really deliver the artistic goods? And we found that, yes, it is.
And it wasn't until those little bottles of water took Owen Hart from us, until we lost him to those little bottles, which had made the wire over his wrestling ring very slippery, that we had to do something about it and get off this stuff.
Yeah, and what I'll do sometimes, too, is I'll still drink them, but I'll use a straw, because Owen's big problem was that he was pouring it so sloppily that it got all over his feet area,
mm-hmm.
and it made his feet slip, and his feet went upside down and he fell. And that really made me take a second look at the water, and I still do use it to get in the zone. But I use it very responsibly, and I put a straw through the cap. I have Benjamin drill a hole. I have Benjamin drill a hole into the cap with a drill, and it's just about the size of the straw, and I put a straw in through that.
Thank you, Jason, for everything.
Thank you, Jason Leno.
We got a great guest today. Adam Devine is here from Workaholics.
Manny from Modern Family.
He was in the Pitch Perfects.
Adam Devine from Adam Devine's House Party.
He's going to come and talk to us on the show, coming right up on Hollywood Handbook.
Peace. So, Hayes, what do you call it when Henry Winkler invests his money with Bernie Madoff?
I don't know. What?
A Ponzi scheme. Oh, wait, fuck. Oh, well. Hey, what up, what up?
Hey, what up, what up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
We have a really great guest
today. Really exciting. Really fun guest.
I'm excited for this guy.
If you didn't recognize the voice, it's friggin' Adam Devine. he's on Workaholics. He's doing I'm not sure that it is. Well,
It is Workaholics. It's not Workaholics, but...
Yeah,
it's a fun nickname. I like Workaholics. That's fun, but it's definitely Workaholics.
Workaholics.
Look for both. But yes, that actually works better.
Workaholics.
Yeah, it is that.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah. Laughing out loud.
You probably also recognize he's Manny on Modern Family.
Yeah. Yes, I am. That is true. The character's name is Andy. I play the Manny.
And so you're like, a little boy.
No, I'm not a little boy. I'm my age, you know. So I'm a little shorter, but totally fully grown.
And Ed O'Neill is your dad. Tell us about working on that show. It managed to be so funny and so human.
It's a real human touch. That they add to it.
I feel like I'm watching people.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely are watching people. Same thing with Workaholics. You know, it's not animated.
Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely two different shows. But it's cool. A lot of people watch Modern Family. And it's kind of cool to have moms recognize me and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, well, we're among those people that watch it, and moms. We just think it's so funny and so human.
It's human.
Speaking of moms, when you were filming Adam Devine's House Party, were you just so scared that your parents were going to come home and catch you?
No. I mean, it was a TV show, so like, and it's fine. And like I said earlier, I'm not a boy. I'm not a little boy, so. Like, I know that I'm a little short and I have, like, a baby face, but I am fully grown. I'm a man, and it's a TV show, so I wasn't scared about that.
Okay, that's why. Because I'm a man, too, but I think we've all had that experience. Mm-hmm. I had it just last weekend where you're throwing a raging house party, and you hear a car pull up, and you go, oh, no, that's my dad's home or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're afraid that he's going to catch you. And really give you a nice whipping.
Because you made a big mess.
Yeah, because you made a big mess. Now.
Sure, yeah, I get that. Yeah, I understand that's sort of just a humanistic instinct.
And a real thing.
And also maybe a real thing, but unless you... do you live with your dad? Do you live, like, in your dad's home?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few homes, but home base is definitely my parents' house.
Okay, and you're paying rent.
Yeah, it's like in that situation, I would 100%. You're paying a ton of rent.
Yes, because I'm doing very well. But
a lot of money.
Well, that's cool.
And I have my own entrance. The basement is decked out. Blacklight posters. It's bitching in there.
I bet it's cool. I'm not... I'm not judging you.
Sick. Oh, yeah. Sick.
No, I bet it's sick and
dude,
twisted. And
you should fucking come next time I have a house party. I'm grounded right now. But
really?
Next time, yeah. Because it's like you had a whole TV crew helping you clean up, but I wasn't able to clean up that fast. And they broke my mom's tea set.
Oh, man. That's a real bummer.
My sister had brought her when she was on vacation in Japan.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen on House Party. You know, everything
Lucky
was,
you.
Yeah, look, I mean, yeah, it was a set, so it didn't, you know. But we did accidentally break this guy's piano.
Which, speak on that.
Well, he was really intense about us not touching his piano. We scraped the shit out of it. It was a $100,000 piano. So,
you ice skated on it?
No, it was scraped. What? No, why would we?
How else would you scrape it?
I think somebody like sat on it and had some studs.
They fell on their skates?
No, there was no skate. I don't think that there was a skate. I don't think there was any skates. Mm. Actually, I rode it, so I'm positive. I was there every second of every day. Positive there was no skates. Mm-hmm. So I think somebody sat on it with like a studded butt cheek.
A beef stud sat on it.
A what?
A beef stud sat on it.
No.
A muscular man.
Oh, yeah. A beef stud. No, I don't know. It could have been a chick. I think it was actually a girl that sat on it.
A muscular girl?
She wasn't that muscular. I remember her, actually, and she wasn't that muscular. She was kind of petite.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
I love that.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that, too. Adam, people know you, TV actor, writer, host, but you're also a stand-up comedian man.
Yeah.
And you were telling us before the show that you're pretty nervous, huh, that you've got a big stand-up show coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing stand-up on the new Tonight Show. I'm one of the very first stand-ups. I'm basically going to be the Billy Crystal of the new Tonight Show.
You're opening for Jimmy.
It's not an opening situation. I mean, it's on the show. He comes out, does his monologue, you know, and then brings out the first guest, and they go to the stand-up, and then I'm the stand-up. I haven't done stand-up in a long time because I'm working on Workaholics and all this other stuff, so I'm a little nervous about it. I haven't had a chance to flex my comedy dick, I think is what they say. Yeah.
Yes, I've heard that term.
Yeah, a lot of people use that term.
Yeah, it's a good term. Now, so this is a safe space to sort of workshop some comedy. Hayes and I obviously have seen a lot of it, and we have been sort of put our thinking caps on to help you out.
Sure.
And want to attack some areas, because you see the same stuff in stand-up, don't you?
Yeah, there are a lot of old seahorses when it comes to stand-up comedy.
Airline food.
Oh, yeah.
Seats on the airplane, difference between first class and the pilot
That's
seat.
Good.
Headphones,
That's
good. Airline things, headphones.
Those are good, but I feel like they're well-worn. Mm-hmm. But what are some areas that haven't... Yes. What are some areas that you haven't seen stand-up about? And we were thinking that sometimes people of different races are different.
That's pretty good. That's a... I mean, I feel like a lot of people do jokes about that. And like, since I'm a white guy... also, that might not play because, like, you know, you're in the majority. A lot of times you can't. It's just sort of.
But being a white
racist.
Guy.
It might come off as racist.
Being a white guy, what take would you have on what a Chinese guy might act like?
I mean, obviously I would like to go, but like you don't do that because that's racist.
The idea.
You know, obviously you go, and I would like speak in Cantonese or Mandarin in a funny tone. But you can't do that. And obviously you do like some driving jokes about how they're not good drivers, but you can't do that because that's racist. So
Adam,
I wouldn't do that.
Adam, the idea that white people can only do white voices and keeping the black voices separate from the white ones.
Sure.
It just feels like it's 2014.
It is 2014.
You know? Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And now's the time when... That the laws of separate but equal can change, and everyone can use the black voice, and the black people can use the white voice, and the Chinese voice. Everyone can use that.
And one thing that gets overlooked is that is how Chinese people talk sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's really overlooking that. It's just, you know, as a Chinese, and I'm not speaking the actual word because I don't know Cantonese or Chinese or
any
ease.
I know
none of the ease. Yeah, that is kind of what's funny about it. But I don't know if that's what I'm going to do on.
Well, we've got a lot of areas. We've got more areas. What about
like a Japanese guy?
Okay. That's interesting.
Like a samurai.
Okay.
Samurai. Like a samurai.
Belushi did it.
Yeah, Belushi did it. It's time to bring it back.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long. That's really, since they're remaking all these old movies, I should just start remaking old comedy bits.
Is it time
bits.
For a reboot of some of the old
classic
comedy bits?
Yeah, the old
comedy
classic
bits.
Comedy bits. I'll just do a lot of Jamie Foxx just... Remember that when he was in
Africa? You're saying
Africa?
That's what Jamie Foxx
sounds
like?
That's not what Jamie Foxx sounds like. And see, that's racist. It's a comedy bit. It's a comedy bit.
That's what he sounds
that's
like.
That's what I'm saying. It's the kind of thing he should be allowed
that's
to
what
do.
He sounds
no, that
like,
isn't what...
That's
it's
not
a
racist.
Specific bit. It's a specific bit. Okay? And I would like to... that'd be one that I'd like to remake. And that's not what he sounds like to me.
But if it is...
If it were...
To you...
Then, yeah.
Then okay, you know. To me, I feel like he's pretty articulate. But you made...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bit...
very smart.
I think so.
I couldn't agree more. I think Jamie Foxx is a genius. I love the guy. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that.
You think he's like the smart... Like Coco, the gorilla that learned all those words.
Yeah.
Because you made that
no.
noise.
No. Made like a jungle noise.
No. Hayes, that's you're putting words in my mouth.
They're not really, weren't really words. They were more like,
well, it's a jungle bit that he was
sounds.
Doing, and then he would go, and then he would go, Africa. It's a hilarious bit that he does on one of his specials. I don't know. Maybe you guys aren't comedy fans. Maybe you don't even know it.
Well, we are comedy fans, and that's why we wanted to talk a little bit about some other areas of comedy that maybe you could work on.
Yes.
The show.
Sure.
A lot of successful...
I mean, I appreciate the help.
A lot of the big beef studs of comedy these days are doing impressions.
Mm-hmm.
They are?
Now,
mm-hmm.
What is a big, good impression you could do?
Like a major celebrity who has like a funny voice and you could put him in like a funny
like
situation.
Somewhere that you wouldn't see him. And we're thinking, of course, of Javier Bardem.
Yeah, Javier Bardem.
Nobody's cracked it yet.
And he's just had a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Javier Bardem, his like twin? You know the guy that looks exactly like Javier Bardem that was in like Watchmen? Do you know who I'm talking about?
That's Javier Bardem.
That is not Javier Bardem, is it? Okay, I was at some party and I see... who I think is Javier Bardem.
His name is Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That's exactly who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over and he was like, I like Workaholics. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why that's spreading. It's obviously Workaholics. And then later I was like, oh my God, I got drunk. And I'm like, Javier Bardem is like a fan. So I started screaming across the party, Javier. And I obviously can't even pronounce his name. And I'm just screaming it. And I'm like taking my shirt off and waving it around. And I'm like, I'm a huge fan. So I would like to do my impression of Javier Bardem. Looking at me in this party situation. What's this guy doing? What's this guy doing over here? Obviously, I'm not Javier Bardem. I'm Jeff Dean Morgan. Obviously, I am. I don't understand. Oh, now he's taking his shirt off.
You could say friendo.
Hey, now he's taking... Hey, look at this friendo. Look at this friendo. This guy's taking his shirt off. He'll wave around his head like a helicopter. He must be a Petey Pablo fan. Look at this. So that is my Javier Bardem. And I think it's pretty spot on. If you've ever heard him talk in real life, which I haven't, only Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you know that it's pretty spot on.
So that's 1 minute for sure that we have down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Jimmy loves a good impression, too. So
Jimmy loves it.
I think
it.
This is really good advice.
If you can make Jimmy laugh,
on that show, that's when you've made it. You know?
Yeah.
If you can go on that show and just make him crack his whole shit up.
Well, because he's pretty stone-faced.
He's a tough laugh.
He's a tough laugh.
Tough laugh. Mm-hmm. I've never seen him really buss up. I've seen him smirk.
Mm-hmm.
And but that in like itself is a victory.
Smirking at you sometimes.
He's smirking at the attempt. He's smirking like, they think they can do what the standards.
You're trying it. Good attempt. Mm. Nice try.
Yeah.
And then I'll drop my Javier Bardem / was it Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Dean Morgan on him, and he'll just lose his fucking mind. Friendle.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, you got to melt right into it.
How about some crowd work?
Yeah, what about doing some crowd work with...
Do you ever do that?
I don't do a ton of... Not really. But I mean, the thing is I haven't done stand-up in so long, I'm willing to try anything on national television in front of 20 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't done it enough that I might as well throw all the old material out. This is good for any budding stand-ups out there. This is just good advice.
Scoop troop, get out your pens.
So let's say you've done some stand-up, you have a pretty solid set that you're proud of, and you're doing your biggest show to date. Guess what? They don't want to hear the tried and true stuff. It's going to feel rehearsed. It's going to feel like, oh, this guy's thought of this. Mm-hmm. He's put some thought into it. Throw it away. Improv the giant show.
Nothing is Wing more frustrating it. Than seeing a comedian who's worked out the timing of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Worked and out it's the polished.
Oh, yeah. And have like nice segues where it doesn't feel like... Like they're setting up for a new joke, they just sort of go right into it.
Yeah, if it feels conversational and sort of like you're seeing your friend on stage.
And guess what? This isn't 2009.
No thanks.
No thanks. Guess what year it is? 2000 freaking.
What did we say?
We said it was
14.
14.
14.
2000 freaking 14. We want to hear starts and stops, and we want to see you spinning your wheels.
Mm-hmm. Danger. It's a tightrope walking experiment.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of tightrope walking experiments, let's talk about crowd work.
Yeah.
We have,
that
of course,
was a good segue.
Engineer Sam here, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
How smooth that was.
It was a little too smooth for my taste. I think you might have done this once or twice. Don't like it.
Let's say a quick you're welcome. Scoop Troop, you can put your pens away.
Yeah.
What a hot, steamy scoop you just got, and what a really helpful thing. The primary purpose of this show is to educate Adam, and we really appreciate that.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Team come.
Team come.
We've got Engineer Sam here for you to just basically light up with some crowd work right now. So he's here to ask questions. And you can get his responses and just kind of play off those about like what's like shitty and like weird about him.
Okay. Look at this guy. Well, I don't know. I'm going to do, like we said earlier, I can't do my normal voice. People will expect that from me. If I do Jeffrey Dean Morgan / Javier Bardem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems stronger.
It seems like a stronger choice. And it is. It's a strong choice.
Mm-hmm. And it softens.
Scoop Troop, sorry. I know you just put the caps back on. Get your pens back out.
Take them back out. You're going to want to write this down. Excuse me. Look at this. Look at this guy right here. Hey, friendos. Look at this guy right here. What is that? Hooded sweatshirt all purpley. What kind of hooded sweatshirt? Where'd you get that hooded sweatshirt from?
American Apparel.
Oh, American Apparel. Canadian Apparel, because you look like you're not from this country. And that's a slam. And that's a slam because people from America, they don't like to be told they're not from here or they're dressed like they're from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a heat rock of a slam that I just freaking threw at the earth. Earth left a crater. A huge smoldering crater with that heat rock. Oh, friendo, you got a pinky ring. I see. Are you a villain?
No, it's my dad.
Was your dad a villain?
No, he just passed away recently and left it.
Oh, did he Friendo, what's with your hair all swooshed to the side over there like that? It's all whoosh. It's you looking like like you're the son of a villain.
I think it just got smushed down in the motorcycle helmet.
Bam! I'm done with you. And see, that's what you do. You and listen you to them. You're and in you control. Shut them down. Yeah. You're in control of the situation. Meanwhile, Jimmy's over there. Freaking, he got up out of his seat, laid on the couch, and is freaking smirking so hard. And you're ready to see. You're ready to see him laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He's not yet. Yeah. He's kicking his feet in the air, but
he's
just
doing,
smirking.
Like, bicycles.
Yeah, he's doing bicycle kicks in the air. Laying on his back on the couch, freaking Reese Witherspoon is freaking petting his mane, going, calm down, Jimmy, it's going to be okay. He's not laughing yet until I call this guy a villain one last time as I'm ending my set. And I'm like, oh, thank you, everybody, for coming out here tonight. It's thank you, Jimmy, for bringing me out. And let's give it up for the villain. And then I just back away from the mic. He loses it. I'm feeling pretty good about this set right now.
Yeah. That seems really good, and it's nice. And the villain feels okay, too.
And you go up with the villain. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to go, like, villain, and you go down with it. I find when you're throwing heat rocks, when you're throwing a heat rock, it's good to go up on the word that you say. I mean, it doesn't need to be villain. It could be anything. It could be like, look at this guy over here looking like he eats sandwiches. Mm. You go up on the sandwiches. Gets people laughing.
That took me somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And Scoop Troop, go ahead, put the cast back on. I think we're done with that.
Maybe leave it over your ear, Scoop Troop, that pen, just in case you need to grab it quickly.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if we were to reach into the popcorn gallery, which I think we should do right now.
Yeah.
And should we quickly just have Sam apologize to Adam? He was being kind of difficult during that crowd work section.
I guess we could do that now. Sure.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, first, apologize for trying to talk without your microphone on.
I'm sorry.
This is not a good use of time on the show.
I apologize. I wasn't trying to be rude or anything. I was just trying to answer him accurately.
Fuck you, Sam.
That's better. Now, let's reach into the popcorn gallery. Adam, this is a segment we do on the show where, unfortunately, some people who live in a bunch of the shitty states of the country, places like Wisconsin or Idaho or some bullshit, don't have access to all the famous friendos that we have, and they can't ask them questions. And so we let them ask through us. And peanut gallery is an expression, but we all do movies.
Sure, when you go to the movies, what do you like to eat sometimes?
Sometimes red vines.
Okay, that's
right.
Yep, but at the same time, popcorn, the name of the segment's Popcorn Gallery, so we're thinking more along the lines of a
being like a big
fluffy
bag of
snack.
Popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah, like,
well,
Junior Mints.
Those aren't fluffy to me. They're mushy.
Oh, those little like dibs, I think they're called, the little
ice
cream.
Are all in the candy area, and this is a different kind of food.
It's
and
behind
this is...
them. It's in a big machine, and it's hot, buttery,
popcorn.
Warm.
Popcorn.
Yes.
Okay. So let's reach into the dibs gallery. Ah, you've gotten me doing it now. Let's reach into the popcorn
gallery. Let's reach into the popcorn bag and pull out a question.
Whole mouthful.
This question is from Octor Doctopus, and he asks, Adam, what's your pain threshold?
It's like out of 100 or out of 10? Are we doing
do
it,
out
is
of,
it numerical or is it?
Let's do it out of 10, but you can use decimal points.
Okay. It's like an 8.3, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really strong, and so sometimes it takes a lot to get through the muscles, because my muscles don't feel pain, to the actual parts that will hurt me.
The pain receptors.
So for like if a nail is piercing you, you wouldn't even feel it.
I wouldn't feel it until it gets through the 7 inches of lats.
Well, I one
wherever.
Time saw you lean against a hot stove, for a full minute and a half.
I couldn't feel it.
Yeah, so you wound up smelling it.
Yeah, and that's 8.3. Imagine my buddy Chad. Mm-hmm. He's like a 9.4.
Oh.
Yeah, my buddy Chad is. So he just like doesn't even feel pain.
We have to have Chad on sometime. We've
I'll bring Chad
forever.
Chad
do stuff
around
to him.
Yeah.
Here's a question. If we reach into the popcorn bag one more time and we pull it out.
Oh, I reach right through the bottom. Oh, the popcorn's all getting out. Ah, one piece left.
This question is from Dr. Balls. And Dr. Balls asks, Adam, where do you get all those wonderful toys?
All the toys, I go to stores for them. A lot of times I'll go on Amazon Prime and I'll just like, a drone will just come and just drop it off. And I'm like, I'm going to steal that drone. I'm going to steal this drone. And then I don't because I'm not a thief. Mm-hmm. So lesson learned. For all the people that don't live in states with drones quite yet, a lot of the browner states, when you're flying and they look so brown, and you're like, what's down there? Mm-hmm. People that live there might not know about the drones. But here in California, I'm looking out the window right now. It's just drone city, baby. It's really exciting time. It's like Minority Report in this bitch.
That's how you get downtown.
Yeah.
The fastest way to get downtown now.
Mm-hmm. You hire 4 drones just to pick up each limb, and they just haul your ass to Staples Center so you can see freaking LeBron James and freaking Lawrence Fishburne go at it head-to-head in a battle of the
Grammys.
They boxed at the Grammys.
Yeah, at the Grammys/ESPYs. It's a combined thing now.
They did them both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's look back on the popcorn bag. I think there might be one more question in there.
Okay.
This is a question from our listener, Chanson, and he asks, Adam, fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck. Totally.
Speak on that.
I don't want to get married quite yet. I think I'm a little young. To get married.
You're a little boy.
I'm not a little boy. We established that I'm a man who likes to fuck, and so I'm into that. I'm really into that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm about. And like killing, I don't want. I've only done that a few times. It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes animals have to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes animals have to die, but like, that's not what I'm about.
They said something bad to you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're like, you're walking down the street and you see a pigeon and he turns around and he says some derogatory comments about my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I will fucking stomp you into the earth, pigeon.
Oh, so the very shoes that he insulted are,
his
undoing to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. Very. Oh, that seems justified.
Yeah. Good show as well, if you should check it out.
And we're sorry for using, to our listeners, we're sorry for using so many chance and questions over the last few weeks.
We don't like it either.
Giving a lot of money for the show, but we don't like it any more than you do.
No.
Plugs.
Plug
it.
Thank you so much for coming. Is there anything you want to plug or talk about that you have coming up that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, actually, I'm doing it's really cool. It's a show on Animal Planet, believe it or not. And
I believe it.
It's produced by the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm.
So R.I.P.
Oh.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
We called him Hoff Dog. We were really close.
Because of all the animal stuff.
Because the animals are around.
Yeah, there's a lot of the animals. And it's starring me and my dad, and we're bass fishermen, and it's called My Dad is a giant black man. My dad is a giant black man.
Yeah.
And it's called that?
No, he is actually my dad. I'm half African American.
You said it
obviously.
Was called that.
And it's called, it's called Let Me See That Bass. So it's a funny play on words where you think it's ass, and my dad wears a giant purple suit. It's fun. It's a real fun, and it's like it's fun because it's not racist. It's like we're all there for a good time.
That's so important these days.
Is not being racist and being there to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they find the guy that did that to Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I hope so too.
I was hoping that we could thank one of our donors who bought the pro version this week.
Yes, that's right. We have one of our donors. He bought the pro version.
Dan Klemkoski is his name. He gave a very generous donation to the pro version. I thought it would be fun for maybe for the pro version prize this week for Adam to do some crowd work based on Dan Klemkoski's address.
This is 6180 Carvel Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Carvel.
Carvel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. look at this name right here. Is this even a name, Dan Klemkoski? That doesn't even seem. What are you, a villain? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
So much.
Thank you, guys,
and for being on the show. And thanks for everyone for rating us on iTunes and talking to us on the forums and
liking the Facebook page and all everything yes. about mm-hmm. it. Yeah,
and for buying the pro version every week. And thanks to Engineer Sam if you could stick around after this, and we'll just keep we'll continue the conversation that we were having earlier, and we'll figure some things out for future weeks.
Really get to the bottom of this if there's going to be any future weeks and how that would have to look.
Well, sound right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.